B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mask.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B. Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mask.
Q-U-I-T quit.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, Tom. Congratulations.
Thanks, Karen. I'm going to miss you.
I'll miss you too. When in your mind did you officially cut the cord with the Patriots, and how hard was it to tell Robert and the Patriots you were moving on?
It was really, you know, the night that I had stopped by and seen, I spoke with Mr. Kraft and asked if I could come over and see him, and we spoke and we had a great conversation. You know, and I just wanted to express, you know, what he's meant to me in my life. And we spoke with Coach Belichick at the same time. We were at different locations, so we talked to him, and it was a great conversation. And got a chance to talk to Jonathan Kraft as well. And, you know, all three of those guys have been involved in so many important decisions in my life, but career-related, personal-related. And, you know, I leave there with just great admiration for the people in that organization. And it's a world-class, first-class organization in every way. And I wanted to leave it that way, too. So I know the Patriots have a great team. They always do. They have great players, great leadership, great coaches. And, you know, I certainly wish them the best. But for me, you know, I've got to transition and focus on the opportunity that I have to, you know, make the current situation I'm in as best I possibly can. And, you know, they hired me to do a job here, and I'm going to go in there and do it like you've always seen me do for a long time. Like, you know, the fans have always seen me do, like opposing coaches, my teammates have seen me do, and I'm going to give it everything I got, like I've done everything in my life for as long as I've been playing this sport.
How does that taste? How does that taste, Boston? Tom Brady is a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I do love just that one little detail. It's a little one, but it was reported that the night that he broke the news to Robert, Tom Brady also had a conversation with Bill. And the way it was reported, well, it was just reported like that. And the way I read it was that, you know, Tom called Bill. Tom reached out to Bill like he reached out to Robert to say his goodbyes and, you know, do the manly thing and have a man-to-man conversation on the way out the door. Well, it turns out there that it was Robert that got him on the phone. As I mentioned earlier, it's like your mom dragging you downstairs to talk to Aunt Millie. She's on the phone. And that's how, for Brady and Bill to have their final conversation, Robert had to get him on the phone. Right, Maz?
Oh, completely. And look, and again, it's interesting how Brady sort of drops in that detail, right? It's like he wanted everybody to know. Well, when I talked to Bill, it was actually we called from Roberts, and it was a three-way conversation, whether it was on speakerphone or he handed the receiver over or whatever. Because I also found the dynamic is very different, right? They're all going to be on their best behavior, especially Bill, if the owner is there sort of facilitating a little group discussion. It's a completely different dynamic if there are three people.
So
still must have been awkward as hell, though.
Totally.
Ugh.
Come on, Tom. Bill, we have Tom on the phone. Come on down. Talk to Tom.
Say your goodbyes.
Bill, talk to your father-in-law. Come on. Come on down. Is that how that went? Is that how that was? It's a little different. Yeah, then Brady reaching out on his own or, you know, seeing Bill on his own, it's a little different. And if maybe they had to broker even that one. So, again, Tom Brady, via conference call, made his debut as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer today. As you would expect, he didn't say much. Some of the questions were good and were relevant. The answers, not as much, but you would expect that from Tom. I do wonder if anyone just sensed a little bit of hesitation or sadness in his voice or anything that said, good God, what did I just do?
Maybe a little bit. It wasn't really dripping with enthusiasm, which I thought it would, because now it's like, hey, Tom, you're free, and you get to be reinvigorated here, and you have weapons to throw to. This is what you wanted. And the whole thing was just a bit subdued. So maybe that is, you know, the state of the world, or maybe it's him realizing, holy crap, I'm a Tampa Bay Buck for real now, huh?
So, again, I said it earlier, the comparison I remember is when Brett Favre was introduced to the Jets. He didn't want to be there. The Packers traded him there because they didn't want him to go to Minnesota. So there was a trade, and they shipped him to the AFC out of their hair. And Favre wanted nothing to do with the Jets. And I remember his introductory Jets press conference. He's just sitting there holding that jersey like, oh, my God, what did I just do? Like, you could see him gritting through his teeth and speaking through his teeth like this. Freaking blows. And then the next year he got released and got to go where he wanted to go. But I wonder if there's just a little bit of that with Brady. Now, he got to do it from his presumably his apartment in Manhattan, and he's not sitting there in Tampa holding up the jersey. But I wonder if there's going to come a time when he feels that way. You know, when like, what did I get myself into? And I mentioned this earlier. You know, I think this is what the Patriots are predicting. Patriots are predicting because I think they basically told Tom Curran this. They projected this on March 1st. Tom Curran wrote a story that said Brady and Pat's not in a cold war. That was the headline. And I assume this is from the Patriots side, but I don't want to put sources in Tom's mouth, but I'm just going to assume it because, and again, this was March 1st. So this is 3 weeks ago now. Curran wrote that Brady will listen closely to what the Patriots have to say when we all presume they're going to have this big sit-down meeting. And what will the Patriots say? Well, Curran wrote that the Patriots will say that this is the best place for him, that there are innumerable things in place here, that if he goes to another city, another franchise, another facility, another coaching staff, he just won't have. So again, the Patriots' pitch was everybody else sucks and you'll have to start over. You don't want to do that, do you? Their pitch wasn't the best contract. Their pitch wasn't a good surrounding cast. Their pitch wasn't a coach that's going to work with them. No, their pitch was everybody else sucks and you're going to have to start over. So the pitch obviously failed. The pitch failed miserably. But anyway, Curran quotes an NFL source, quote, wherever he goes, there won't be one guy who knows what he wants done and how he wants it done, said an NFL source. Is he going to coach the receivers coach on how to coach the receivers or coach the offensive coordinator? There are a million things. End quote. Curran writes, the exhilaration of being released from 20 years working in the strictest and most demanding environment in the NFL will be fleeting, the source said. And if he goes, Brady alone will be the one living with the decision. Quote, there may be excitement for 5 minutes after he sticks it to the Patriots, the source said. Yeah, F Bill is what Brady's going to say, but he's the only one who has to live with the reality. The 5 minutes in March is gone when the season starts and the entire thing is on Tom. And I sort of wonder, you know, is that telling Bill to go F himself, the exhilaration of doing that, when is that going to wear off? Did it wear off today talking to the Tampa media?
No, I think if it's going to wear off is if he gets down there and it's really just like, you know, Club Arians down there and he's just crushing beers in the parking lot and there's the work ethic isn't up to his standard, which is maniacal, so it's no one's going to come close, but people are going to have to put the work in. And I think, you know, he did mention that a little bit here, and I think the expectation is going to be pretty high for guys like Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, pretty much everyone on that team, but especially on the offense. Like, hey guys, like, you know, you've been Tampa Bay Bucks, you've been nothing but losers, but now the mentality has to change, and if it doesn't, well, that frustration's going to set in quick.
Yeah, I don't know if it wears off like the first time they get on the field, the first time he gets pissed off at someone, the first time they lose because somebody made a horrible mistake, but it will wear off. That's a given. So now, how long will it take? I don't know. You know, these guys might be on their best behavior. They might start winning. But in terms of that, oh, God, what have I gotten myself into moment, look, a lot of this whole thing is still going to be framed by how they play down there. And if it goes well, then Brady will say it's the best decision I ever made. So, and look, I only mentioned, you know, again, because we drew the comparison yesterday. When Clemens left, and not, you know, and this goes back 20-some-odd years, he went to Toronto and Cy Young's in the first 2 years, and the whole narrative changed. So a lot of people thought he was done because he had gone 500 here for 4 years. If Brady gets down there and plays well, then that uh-oh moment might not really happen at all.
I just think, you know, reading back to this, the Patriots just about nailed the thing. They did. And the only thing that...
In terms of what suitors? And,
well, in terms of, right, what Brady's market would be. They were right. He didn't have a big market. They were right that he would be forced into a decision of going to a bad place and starting all over versus coming back here, a place that's ready-made for him. And that was ultimately the decision Brady was faced with. They got it all right up until the very last thing, and that was the decision. They didn't think Brady would do it and go ahead with it, and they did. And he did. He called their bluff. You know, Curran again writes on March 1st, the Patriots' pitch won't revolve around money. And it can be argued it makes the process easier for the Patriots if Brady comes to the table armed with an understanding of what the market looks like. Two team sources felt Brady would be making a mistake if he went somewhere else. One expressed doubt that the frenzy for his services many are predicting will really exist. Brady's age, the money involved, and the commitment to Brady for 2 years through his 44-year-old season could be too daunting, the source said. They were right. The market wasn't there, and Brady was forced with going to, as the source said, is he going to go to a place where there won't be one guy who knows what he wants done and how he wants it done? Is he going to a coach? Is he going to go coach the receivers on how to coach? Or is he going to go coach the receivers coach on how to coach the receivers or coach the offensive coordinator? There are a million things. There may be excitement for 5 minutes after he sticks it to the Patriots. Yeah, F Bill, he'll say. But he's the one who has to live with the reality. The 5 minutes in March is gone when the season starts and the entire thing is on top. They put that to him. That was their pitch. Their pitch was, you're really going to go start over in someplace like Tampa? And you know what Brady said? Yep. See ya. Smell ya. See ya, Bill. And they nailed the whole thing up until the decision. And
no, I didn't think he had the sack to do it.
And, no, they really didn't, yeah.
And you know what? Can you blame him? Can you blame him? Because it still is freaking Tampa. We continue with more of Brady's sound from today and your reaction to it right after this.
Felger and Mads on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
The guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it. Were you disappointed that the Patriots maybe didn't make more of an effort to bring you back or maybe show some more appreciation given all you've accomplished for the team?
No, I have a great deal of respect for, you know, there's nobody who's been a bigger fan of the Patriots than me. So I have nothing but total respect and love. And, you know, I'm so grateful to Mr. Kraft and the organization and Coach Belichick and all the coaches and obviously all my teammates. It's been a lot of days responding to a lot of incredible text messages from my teammates, from former teammates, from just a lot of the great people that I've got to meet over the years. And I have so many great relationships that you know, will be maintained. And, you know, that's, I think, the greatest gift that football has brought me is the relationships that I've had with so many of the people I've worked with. So it'll be certainly different, but at the same time, you know, that's the way life can be at times. And what won't be different is my approach to the game, my approach to what my roles and responsibilities are, and I'm going to go out and do the best I can every day to put our team in a position to win.
More from Tom Brady today. Your reaction to it. How did he sound to you? How did he sound? Billy in Royal Island. What do you got, Billy?
I just want to go back on one comment about Belichick's ways. You know, I think he was, I may not be right on this, but I think he was around the military type thing way back. And then he worked for Parcells, and he wasn't the greatest guy to give compliments. And I think he was groomed that way myself. I think it's part of his personality, no doubt. But I don't see it hurting. I think it helps. I think you're going to bring teams together. These guys are professionals. They're making 6, 8, 10, 12 million. You've got to be hard on them, and you got to be everybody, you know, marching to the same drummer. It's unbelievable how it works. I was in the Marine Corps 6 years. I know how it works. These guys are all together. They're all one.
Well,
and that's how you succeed.
Football's
so
like
that's
that,
how
Billy.
I relate it to.
Yeah, and I agree. I think football's like that more than any other sport. There's 60 guys down there, like from all sorts of different backgrounds, and, you know, it's just like, It is kind of a military environment. There's coaches who've tried to do it the other way.
And have had success. Pete did.
Decent success. But sustained, you know, what they have here.
Man, no one's done it like him.
I mean, Lombardi might be the closest, and he had a military background, too. It's like, or he came from the, you know, Army. So, you know, I just think that, no, it wasn't Army. It was, well, either way, he ran it that way. And I think that that's what those super, you know, successful football coaches have. And I think you have to have it. And this thing about Brady wanting sort of equal footing with the coach is just not real. It's not how I would want to run it. I want the coach to be in charge in football, even in charge of the greatest quarterback who ever lived, especially in charge of the greatest quarterback that ever lived. What do you want?
I'm sorry, Mike. My only question again is whether there's some sort of happy medium in there. Okay, because we most often compared the Patriots to the Niners. The Niners weren't necessarily a dictatorship. They weren't that. Even under Seifert, they changed coaches, and which might be more argument for the quarterback, I suppose. But in any case, that was a little bit more of a somewhere in the middle. I wouldn't say they were totally easy, and I wouldn't say they were militant about it. I think it was disciplined but human.
No, I agree, certainly. But it was very much a system there. I mean, there was a Niners system that the players fit into and all of it. And of course, there's a happy meeting. Of course there is. I just think if I'm going to err on one side of it, I'm going to err on Bill's side of it. Dave and Dedham on Terry Bradshaw's comments. Go ahead, Dave.
Hi there. Yeah, I wanted to just get some background on Terry Bradshaw. Yeah, that must have struck a chord, Tom Brady leaving the Patriots. And I watched the Football Life episode of his a few months back. He had a horrible relationship with Chuck Knoll. Terry Bradshaw cried on the Football Life show. He never felt loved by Chuck Knoll. And I think Tom kind of had enough and made a big move here. And it must have struck a chord with Terry Bradshaw, you know?
Okay, so Zoe actually texted us there, too, because I said before, I mean, this is when I was a kid that, you know, so I don't have a great recall of it, but I don't remember there being this messy divorce with Terry Bradshaw, Chuck Knoll, and the Pittsburgh Steelers. I just remembering all the guys getting old and cycling off of steroids and dying, and, like, the thing died. Like, I don't remember the personal dynamics between the two, but apparently they didn't have a great relationship.
Yeah, and I only asked because I didn't know, and I didn't like the caller. I didn't know if this triggered something in Bradshaw. So Zoe said, I grew up there. Bradshaw and Knoll butted heads. Didn't get old. He didn't even go to Knoll's funeral. They hated each other. Terry hated him. He thought Terry was stupid.
Okay, but the point is that they never broke up because of it.
Right.
Bradshaw kept Bradshaw. And
he
not
put up with it.
Well, I mean, there was no free agency then, so he didn't have any option. He didn't have any choice. So maybe that's, I don't know, but maybe Bradshaw looks back at it and says, I kept coming back for more. My coach was a dick too, but we won Super Bowls and it was what was best for us. And yep, I was miserable at times, but I put up with it because that's what was best for the team and what brought out the best of all of us. So what the hell is Tom doing? Maybe that's where he's coming from on that.
Oh, and look, let's not forget, too, that he's talking now as, what is he, 71 years old? So he's closer to Belichick's age than he is to Brady's. He probably looks at Brady and says, oh, God, now you're being a baby like I was when I was a player. And maybe he's changed from that, you know, from that vantage point.
Tony and Shirley. Hi, Tony.
How you doing, guys? I'm just kind of going, Michael. Did you say the Patriots are going to win the division?
Yes, sir.
Listen, Mike, and I love you. You've been great. Being nice people. I'm just going to go. How do you fathom that? They lost the key guys in the defense. I think Van Horn's the biggest one. Now they had a fake defense last year. You don't think Buffalo's going to be hungry to beat Belichick more than ever? I'm going to tell you right now, Buffalo's going to win the division outright. The Pats are going to be lucky to go 7-9. The reason why I'm saying that, because they don't have anybody. Harry can't win that now. Read a playbook. Edelman one hit away from being out four games. I just don't see it. I can't fathom it.
Okay, Tony, I'll tell you why. It's also Van Noy, not Van Horn.
Yeah, Keith Van Horn, former New Jersey net turned linebacker.
The Patriots had a fake defense last year, Murray. You agree with that, don't you?
Oh, I do, yes, very much so.
So the fake defense has gotten worse personnel-wise. I would agree with that, too. Okay, how do they win the division? I'll give you three names. Ryan Allen. hold on. Adam Gase. And Ryan Fitzpatrick. Sorry. I mean, you've got two bozo quarterbacks
And you mean Josh Allen, right.
So, yeah whatever his name is, punter? I knew I didn't have the name right. Josh Allen, the quarterback in Buffalo, the coach in New York, and Miami's just not ready yet. Miami's just not there yet. That's how you win the division. Everyone else still sucks. It's still the AFC East.
Let me throw a curveball at you, though.
Go ahead.
What if the Bills sign Cam Newton?
Interesting. Do you feel that that's an option? Is that being floated out there?
Well, he's now a free agent. I think that that's a good fit. I mean,
similar to Josh Allen.
Yeah, in terms of size, mobility. I think, you know, Allen, you give him a few weeks. If he craps out and looks like Josh Allen, you put Cam Newton in.
I think
a good team
there. I think Josh Allen is a poor man's Cam Newton.
Yeah.
They play the same way. Wild, but big and athletic and all of that. So I think, you know, you wouldn't have to change your offense up there. And Newton's one. Would it change my... I mean, that would be an upgrade. Sure, I'd give Buffalo more of a chance. I just think Buffalo's going to do Buffalo things at the end of the day. I do. And I think Adam Gase blows as a head coach.
I can't believe he's still there.
I think he's going to ruin Sam Darnold, yeah. Okay, before I butcher another name. And Miami's probably going to go with a rookie quarterback. If they draft Tua, it's, you know, some sort of combination of Ryan Fitzpatrick or Tua if he's healthy, not ready. And just when you think Ryan Fitzpatrick can do something for you is when he craps all over himself. Like, when he succeeds is when the end of last year.
Yeah.
When
the season's
over, nothing to play for. He'll run around and make some plays and win some games you don't think he's going to win. But as soon as the money's on the table, forget it. And that's still your competition. So I think you can win that division. I mean, I would not be surprised. I've been saying it the whole time. You'll win the division at 9-7. It's going to be one of those kind of years. Here's Murray's update when we come back. How is Bill Belichick and the Crafts manage their payroll, manage their roster, manage their cap, if you believe in that? We'll get to that story right after the update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Andrew and Roll, go ahead on Maz.
Hey, Maz, how's it going?
Good.
You don't think you want Sisowski out there kicking the game-winning kick to bring us another championship?
I don't know. I'd have to think about that.
It's just so unbelievable. I don't know why your confidence isn't even higher.
Yeah, and until last night, when had he really made one to win the game at the very end?
But be that as it may, it must have been a bloodbath for you on Twitter. Also, Murray pretty much wanting the Patriots to lose a game here in the regular season. So, can we get a sampling, boys?
Let's.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah, go ahead, Mass.
Okay, from the dude. How many Sullys are going to call up saying, yeah, Maz, how do you like Goskowski now?
Chris Roberge says they're going to eat you alive tomorrow on Felger and Maz.
For now, hey, Maz, is he worth the money now?
Adam says, did you want Goskowski to miss that kick so the fan pressure was off the perfect season quest? Hashtag armbiter.
From Gary, where are you now? Where are you?
At Big Jim Murray, take your negativity back to Atlanta, you D-bag.
Mike V, safe to say he's worth that money, huh, Tony?
At Big Jim Murray, still dislike paying the best kicker in the game?
The Colonel, Maz is a jackass troll.
At Cam and Taunton, Goskowski is worth every penny, my friend.
From Jason, crickets, Mazhole.
Mazhole, that's a good one.
That is, I've heard that before.
At Sacco Najarian says, at Big Jim Murray, still want us to lose? DB.
Okay, I'll give you one more. From Z-Zup. Yo, ass clown, better be apologies.
Grow up, apologizing for having an opinion.
That's dumb. Dumb, dumb, dumb. Don't apologize for having an opinion. Make an admit you're wrong. And the caller before, the emailer, the texture, the tweeter before with the stats. That's what I don't get about you. Like, you've watched every game and every kick that this guy's attempted for the last 4 years. They all go in. Like, everyone has gone in.
Except that Arizona one.
Yeah, except that one.
Okay, but, like, that's like longer than 4 years ago. When was that?
That was 2012.
2012, yeah, 2012.
Boy.
And in 2007, Belichick wouldn't send him in.
8 years ago. The guy makes every damn kick.
Yeah, for the most part, that's true.
How do you not have confidence in the guy?
Because none of them were with the game on the line.
You don't think you want Kostowski out there to bring us another championship?
I'm getting there.
So Maz's guy, Steven Goskowski, one of them to kick around anymore. He's released yesterday in a salary cap move. He still has $1.5 million in dead money around on the books. And the Patriots' dead money outlay for next year is like $25, $26 million. It's like one of the highest in the league. So that's all a long way of getting into, Maz. Do you think the Patriots have mismanaged their roster?
I do. I do. And I'll tell you, you know, with this Brady decision, I just never thought we would be here. I think we all knew the end of the Tom Brady era was going to come. Okay, that was obvious. But I never thought the Patriots would go through it the way they're going through it right now. By that, I mean, this thing feels like a total rebuild now. And I just did not expect the Patriots to do it this way. I thought the transition was going to be a little more seamless, that there wasn't going to be this gap in the middle. And look, I know that you believe that they're going to contend for the division this year, but, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, I think you also acknowledge that if they do, it's going to be a 9-7 kind of year.
And it'll be done on coaching and guile, not talent.
Okay, so I look at it and I say, I never thought they would be in this spot. And really, in the last two off seasons, they've lost Brady, Gronk, Gostkowski, Collins, Van Noy, Shelton, Trey Flowers, Trent Brown, all good players. And I'm not even getting into the tangential pieces or the role pieces like the Nate Ebners of the world and Jamie Collins. And or I did say Collins. But anyway, you get the idea that they would go through this much of an overhaul, let alone with dead money, bad drafts. Like, I just never thought they would be in this spot, and a lot of it is mismanagement.
Where are all the toadies? Where are all the toadies? Oh, they always make the right smart move. Well, they've had a below-market quarterback who's also the best quarterback in the league for 20 years, and now they have no quarterback, and they're right up against the cap, and they have the highest dead money figure in the league. So is that all just a lie? Is it just nonsense? Their superior cap man? Where's their superior cap management that I've had shoved down my throat for 20 years? Where is it?
I just also think this is a move that's further showing you.
Or is it all bull crap?
Oh, it's bull crap. And they didn't want to have Brady back, because if they really did, they were going to go, you know, bend over backwards for him financially. They could have made this move and cut Gostkowski before and had more cap money, freed up some more space, and brought him back. It's just, I'm with Maz. They seemingly have mismanaged this. And looking at him, I just have to say a word on him, because it's not like we're going to spend a lot of time on kickers. He was frustratingly inconsistent at times, especially in big games like the Super Bowl. It's okay to admit. You could set a watch to a missed kick or extra point in a Super Bowl or a big game like the 2015 AFC Championship game. But that said, he was good. Good, not great.
So he was, I've never seen such a good kicker have less confidence, meaning that fans had less confidence in than Steven Gostkowski. Like you said, you're always thinking this big miss is coming down the pike. Yeah. And he was one of the best kickers in the league during his time.
Yeah.
But you didn't have that confidence in him. And for good reason. I mean, you're right. Like, pretty much every championship game, there was a shank.
Yeah, like every single one. And I don't know what that was. It was just he was in his own head. And that happens with a lot of kickers. And it's also not his fault that he came in and was the guy after the greatest kicker in NFL history.
But be that as it may, your point, Maz, he was one of the highest paid kickers in the game. Now he's got dead money on the books. And it's like, look at their depth chart. It's kind of scary.
Oh, my gosh. I was looking at it again earlier this morning. And you go through the thing in some spots. And again, this is according to Patriots.com. Do you know right now they don't have a center listed? The Patriots don't.
Dave Andrews isn't the guy?
No, he's not listed on their depth chart. Now, again, I don't know if this is because they're uncertain about him or an oversight. I'm just going what's on the team, the official team depth chart. But you look at it and you say, they had Philip Dorsett listed as a starting wide receiver. He's gone. They don't have anybody listed as a starting quarterback. They don't really have, Ben Watson listed as a starting tight end. He is retired, but they don't have a replacement there yet. And then on the defensive side of the ball, right now on the D-line, they have Lawrence Guy and John Simon listed. Dante Hightower listed at linebackers along with three open spots. It is stunning when you go through and see the number of holes and the names that are on there. Now, look, there are still some pretty good players out there. For example, Stephon Gilmore. I totally spaced out. J.C. Jackson, for some reason, slipped my mind. He's still here. Jonathan Jones, the secondary.
No, the secondary is still good.
It's still pretty good. It is. But overall, I just didn't, you know, I did not expect the transition from the Brady era to the next era to be this stark or this dramatic. I thought it would be a little softer than it feels like it's going to be. There's obviously a lot of time still in free agency, in the draft, until the season begins, and we'll have a much better picture of it in the fall. But as of right now, here today, I mean, how many players on that roster do you look at and say, well, he's a known commodity? Even the guys they've drafted in the last couple of years, we don't know, Mike. We still don't know about Isaiah Wynn. We certainly don't know about N'Keal Harry or Jacoby Myers, who was an undrafted free agent. There are just a lot of holes and a lot of question marks.
Okay, a lot of pressure on Bill Belichick. And boy, is he getting dumped on for this Brady thing. He is getting dumped on, which must make the Crafts happy because that's exactly what they wanted. And that's exactly what they're getting. We'll pick that up with your calls right after this.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay him.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
He felt that there was a flagrant lack of appreciation on the part of Bill Belichick. And listen, it came down to this. If Bill Belichick had gotten on the phone with Tom Brady a year ago, we love you, we never want to lose you, we don't give a damn what it takes, Tom Brady would still be a New England Patriot. Bill Belichick was not willing to do that. He said, damn that, and that is why Tom Brady not only is gone, but he's been gone since last year. It was a foregone conclusion. We all basically knew it, and in the end, that's what it comes down to. So clearly, Bill Belichick is the person to point the finger at more than anybody else, because as Kraft said to me when he called last week, if Tom Brady had wanted to stay, we would have worked it out. There's only one reason he wanted to leave, and that is Bill Belichick.
Again, that's very much the narratives the Crafts are looking for. We would have paid him, but he didn't like Bill. Bill was too mean to him. It's all Bill's fault. And I think I just don't like seeing management get away with it like that. I think the team's decision not to pay Tom Brady was a team decision. Team decision. You got to twist an owner's arm to say I can do just as well with someone much cheaper. What? That's like a, like that's. I mean, any owner's going to take that. You know, that pitch from his coach 100 times out of 100. But I mean, it's
they
just
played this thing well though because they are dodging this bullet.
That's oh boy, that phone call from Kraft to Stephen A. paid off, didn't it?
You got it. There it is. You know, hey, look, all Bill had to do was say, we love you, man, and we want you. And they would have had Tom Brady. They were willing to pay him. Don't call him cheap. They were willing to pay him. It's all because Bill's an a-hole. Talk about the narrative the Crafts are looking for. There it is. And we all know it's a little more nuanced than that, don't we? We continue with your thoughts on that. And Brady's press conference today is a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Let's grab Bob in Connecticut. Hi, Bob.
Hey, what's happening?
Not much, Bob. What do you got?
Yeah, the reason I'm calling is I just want to let you know that I've been watching the Patriots since Jim Plunkett was our quarterback. I think Tom Brady's a wonderful quarterback. Yeah. Very good, an A-plus Brady.
Oh, my God, I can't. How would you possibly do? Was that a joke? Did you mean to do that? Jeff in Vermont on Terry Bradshaw's comments. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, you know, I think the reason that Tom wants to play some more is he wants to pass Drew Brees. And touchdowns and total yards. And also, I think he wants to get his TB12 brand going. to prove to people that he can perform at a high age.
So it has nothing to do with sticking it to Bill?
No, I think that's secondary.
Okay.
I think it's brand.
Okay, well, possibly, yeah, sure. Isn't his brand already established? Hasn't he already proven that, you know, he's done it better and longer than anyone else who's ever played?
Yeah, but he did. Again, I really believe he's painted himself in a corner by talking to playing about playing to age 45. So the longevity helps benefit the TB12 brand. If he really cares about the stats, I'm in for him sticking it to Bill. I understand trying to benefit your brand. If it's these stats that no one even knows off the top of their head, that
who
no
cares?
One cares about, like, oh, who gives a rat's ass?
Who has a touchdown pass record?
Who the hell knows?
Do you even know? Is
no.
It, did Breeze pass Manning? I can't remember.
I think
it's Breeze, yeah.
Is it Breeze, Manning, Brady? Is it Breeze, Brady, Manning? What's the number?
Nobody knows it.
What's the number?
It's Breeze at 547.
What's that? Does anyone, if I gave you all day to come up with that number, would you come up with that number?
No.
No one cares about football records. They don't matter. So, like, I'm sure Tom would take them if he got them, sure, and put them up on his wall on the TB12 when you first walk in. Like, he'd take advantage of it, but
they're going to go back and forth. It's 547 to 541. So,
if that's why he's playing, it's the wrong reason. No one remembers Tom for the numbers anyway. He's the guy that wins
titles. That's what people remember.
Exactly. He's the Montana to Marino, and that's it. So he's the one that wins the rings. Jeter to A-Rod. Like, that's who he is. He doesn't need both, and I'd be disappointed if he cared about those stats. I really would. I think he's still playing because, Maz, you have to admit, 99% of pro athletes don't quit unless they're fired, unless they're told not to play, unless they're told you can't play anymore. Every guy, even guys we thought would, you know, hang it up. Kevin Garnett played till he just couldn't play anymore, you know, and all these guys just kept playing and kept playing and kept playing till they didn't have a job. And maybe Brady just falls into that category. He's just a lifer for it.
It's a sickness almost.
It's a sick. It's like, and it's a great life, right? You play ball. You're Joe quarterback. Like, why would you ever want to quit? And he doesn't want to quit. He's proven it with the records. He's proven it with championships. He's established his business. He's established that TB12 and the method works. So why keep playing? Because he just can't quit it. And he's not going to quit it till they tell him to quit it.
Well, and again, the money's so good that why wouldn't you let them just drag you away at the end? The difference with Brady is that he's been able to still play at a high level. You don't see many guys get to his age. And granted, he wasn't an all-pro last year, but you don't see many guys get to his age and still play well enough to go 12-4. So I get that part of it. I don't hold that part of it against him. He should play as long as he thinks he's capable of playing. And I still think he's at a pretty functional level. I mean, functional's unfair to him. He's still, if he put the weapons around him, he's going to put numbers up next.
No, but this is what, you know, why he's still playing is a totally different question than what we're really more concerned with, which is, why is he playing in Tampa?
Or where he's playing. Right, right.
Where he's playing. You know, the fact that he wants to keep playing, there's a psychology with these athletes that they just, you know, Jeter probably hung on a year or two too long. They all hang on a year or two too long. Who leaves when they still have something to give? It's so Barry Sanders.
Yeah, Barry
Sanders
is the only one.
Like, there's just so few guys who leave a little early versus a little late. And maybe Brady's just falling into that thing like they all do. They all just go a little too long. And so that's a whole nother thing. But why is he doing it in Tampa?
Yeah, you got me. And look, you know, Calvin Johnson's another guy that probably had stuff left in the tank. Interesting that they're both Lions. Yeah. So maybe that is some sort of commentary or referendum on Detroit more than anything else. And look, you are seeing guys now walk away at younger ages because of the concussion thing. So Gronk maybe being one of them. But the bottom line is most guys, you have to drag them away with, you know, a team of horses.
Okay, but to answer that question, why is he in Tampa? Spite for Bill's on the list. It starts with the contract. But number two is that whole personality conflict with Bill. The rift with Bill is the number two reason. He'd put up with number two if they took care of him on number one. But if they aren't going to put, you know, give him a market contract, he ain't putting up with number two anymore. And that's why he's there. Joe in New York. Go ahead, Joe. What do you got?
Hey, guys. So with Brady going out of his way to say he wants to be at OTAs when they start up, this kind of loosely reminds me of when Manning went to the Dodgers and ran out that ground ball for a single in his first game with them. Because in both cases, we're seeing Boston athletes suddenly put in effort once they leave for another team. And to me, in Brady's case, it's just unforgivable that Bill and the Kraft didn't bend over backwards to appease Brady, because Brady's a once-in-a-lifetime franchise guy like a Jeter or a Kobe, and to let him end his career with another team because of personal animus is just a shame.
Why? I mean, the Lakers hung on to Kobe too long. He couldn't deliver anymore at the end, and it set him back years. You want to be that?
You know what? To me, my opinion is that there is inherent value in letting Brady finish out his career here. I don't think they would have won another championship, but I do think that there would have been a lot of value in seeing him end his career as a Patriot.
Joe, what kind of value? Sentimental value. So Kobe never played for another team, but he made way too much at the end, and it set back the Lakers' rebuild. And they had to go into the lottery, and their rebuild was far steeper and far more challenging because they hung on to Kobe. Yet he retired a Laker. Is it really that? I mean, I'm not going to tell you how to feel as a fan, but you take that trade-off? Just keeping Tom, just use that analogy. That if they kept Brady, he'd retire a Patriot. You'd feel better about it in the short term, sentimental value. But the rebuild would be steeper, longer, and tougher. And you'd make that trade-off? I wouldn't.
Me neither. Yeah, I wouldn't make it either. And again, but I'm the wrong guy to ask in this sort of stuff because, I know Murray felt differently, at least up until a period of time. The sentimentality for me went out of it a long, long time ago. And when I say that, I just mean by the change in nature of sports. Salary caps and huge salaries and everything else, I think, just drove teams to start managing it like more like a business than they ever had before. And again, we're talking that started over a generation ago. And so at this stage, I'm immune to it.
Yeah, I'm just interested in them being as good as they can be for as long as they can be.
Sure.
And hanging on to Brady, I think, would have hurt that. That's simple as that. And I don't know, Brady in a Tampa Bay Buccaneer jersey is kind of gross. I don't think there's any question about that. That doesn't look right. That doesn't feel right.
I'll learn to love it, though.
But it's good for spite reasons. It'll be entertaining as hell, all of that. But I think that's better than setting you back and then having, a much steeper climb back to respectability. I'll take that other thing every day of the week. So we continue with Tom Brady's introductory press conference today as a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And your reaction to it after Murray's 90-second update, there are no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.